perfect. We're building a boat, guys.
During the 2016 Father's Day weekend, six families gathered to build small 12-foot flat bottoms, essentially rowboats. The event, one of a few wooden boat-building events scattered across the country, is popular, with typically over 100 families on the waiting list in a given year. Families work together over the weekend to physically build the boat with the help of seasoned volunteers.
You guys are sand-dancing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Great.
Feel that.
The Franklin family this year came all the way from Huron, Ohio to participate. They've been coming to Delaware for 16 years and even have a Delaware-themed nautical room in their house. Renee Franklin says they've been on the waiting list for the boating event before.
You know, we've done the kayaking, canoeing, paddleboarding, so now we'll get a rowboat.
Some parts are pre-cut, but many pieces are cut on-site and fitted to the boats as they're being built. The boats are reminiscent of a lost era when the shipbuilding and fishing industries were booming in Lewis. The shipbuilding industry in Lewis was born of necessity. Transportation on land was very difficult, with no main roadways in the 1600s.
The canal has been the life's blood of Lewis. We are the first town in the first state, ironically, without a first street.
That was Marco Salaveria, Director of Education for the Lewis Historical Society, and he says the famed gentlemen of Lewis were its pilots or ship commanders tasked with helping ships navigate towards Philadelphia and other ports.
They were like any other trade of that era. You started off as an apprentice, you kind of went through a testing period, you became a master. Their skills were sought because still to this day, a lot of the waterways around our area are very shallow, shifting shoals and shores.
The pilots relied on ships coming up and down the canal to earn a living, and the primary ships they were commanding, called schooners, had two masts.
They were competing against each other. Pilots would be competing. You'd buy into a pilot boat. You might have an eighth share, or a 16th, or a 32nd share, even a 64th share.
That's Mike DiPaolo, Executive Director of the Lewis Historical Society. He says from the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, pilot boats played a key role in defending Delaware.
Shallops, sloops, schooners, barges, whatever was at hand was used to sort of harass the British out in the bay.
Sloops were slightly smaller than schooners, typically with one mast, and shallops were even smaller, built to navigate narrow waterways. DiPaolo pointed to a map of the channels in the 1700s.
You can see how shallow some of this is in feet. You know, so the main ship channel back then is 14 feet, 8 feet. A couple ship channels, the main ship channel, the western main ship channel.
However, as natural resources dwindled and the demand for larger ships grew, these larger boats were built in towns like Milford and Bethel, further inland.
So when you moved to Milford, you moved to Milton, you had forests nearby. You also had elevation changes for the mills to help in the process, and Lewis didn't have that.
A 1929 Milford Chronicle article indicates that white oak was abundant in Sussex County at the time and was among the finest in the United States, with thousands of dollars worth being shipped to other parts of the country. The schooner evolved into a larger ship known as the Ram, over 100 feet long.
And how it got its name, the Ram, the first one that went through the C&D Canal, the lock operator said, look at that boat ramming its way through the lock.
That's Kevin Phillips, president of the Bethel Historical Society. He says the launching of the ships, which took months to build, was quite the affair.
School was closed, everybody came.
The ships were built on an incline, and a ship rail car, remnants of which can still be seen at low tide, helped guide the ship into the water. Only one ram is still in use today in Maine. The Vineyard Shipyard, also known as the Milford Shipyard, is the last of Milford's shipyards still in existence. It dates back to 1896. The shipyard earned fame through government contracts to build submarine chasers, wooden ships that German submarines couldn't detect with their sonar in both World War I and World War II. Meanwhile, the fishing industry was still alive in Lewis. Lewis was the breeding ground for the menhaden fish, an oily fish that can't be eaten by humans but provided all of the oil for colonial lamps before whale became popular. And it's still popular today, a key ingredient in many fish oil supplements. Salaveria describes the early fishing process.
It's catching the schools of 100,000, 300,000 fish This is the net reel before the invention of nylon. It is dried, not hand dried, but literally foot dried. It looks like a giant hamster wheel. Four men, there are graded steps inside of the wheel. Four men would stand inside and walk and turn the wheel.
The industry swelled during and after the Civil War, and by 1880, over 60 factories dotted the coast, up as far north as Maine. It continued into the 1960s when plane spotters helped locate schools of fish from the air.
And what they would do is a message, literally message in a bottle. Inside of a Coke bottle, they'd have a message. They'd drop it from the plane and drop into the water, and the boat would go over. They'd pick it up. They'd open up. They'd unroll the note, and it's the coordinates of the fish.
The invention of nylon and overfishing eventually ended the menhaden industry in Lewis. Bob Kitowski volunteers for the Lewis Weekend Shipbuilding event as a yard boss, helping direct the families through the shipbuilding process step by step.
Yeah, flip the boat over.
Kitowski says the boats being built for the families over Father's Day weekend were similar in size, though a bit smaller, than what was considered a gunning boat in the late 1800s to 1900s.
It was actually a market. They would take these boats, they would row them up the creek. They go to the Great Marsh, which is up north and slightly west of the town. Once in there, whoever was rowing would get up and take a 16-foot pole and pole it through the marsh. And the gunner would stand up there, and they would go gunning for waterfowl.
At the finale of the shipbuilding event on Sunday, disabled Army veteran James Talby is working on his boat. His opportunity to build the boat with his family came through a partnership between the Lewis Historical Society and fishingcommunity.org, an organization that helps assimilate veterans back into the community.
For me, I've wanted to build a boat since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Upon returning from a deployment to Iraq, he was diagnosed with PTSD. He says being by the water and out in nature is therapeutic.
Seeing the animals, the birds, the bees, the trees, you know, it's all a very relaxing atmosphere and definitely has become a critical part in my therapies.
He plans to use the boat to go fishing with his sons. After completing the 16-hour process of building the boat, they got to test it out before taking it home.
All right, good job. Let's go.
The Franklin family took their boat back to Ohio in a U-Haul and says they're still deciding on a color to paint theirs. Megan Pauly, Delaware Public Media.